This morning we were talking about David before King Saul playing the harp and how God used David in a mighty way. In chapter 17 of 1 Samuel, we find two huge armies facing each other across the valley of Elah. The outcome of that battle changed history. If the Philistines would have won the battle and the Israelites had become their servants and slaves, the nation of Israel probably would have ceased to exist, moved forward 3,000 years to today. What a different world we would be in. But that wasn't God's plan. God always has a plan. And sometimes when we don't see it, we don't realize something that looks like it's a little thing is huge. And so these two armies were facing each other, the Philistines and the Israelites, across the valley of Elah. And for 40 days, we know the story about Goliath. Whenever you hear the name Goliath, you automatically think of a giant. Well, that's why. He was a Philistine giant. He was their number one warrior. He was the pride of the lot. And he was the biggest, he was the strongest, the best trained, best armed man in their army. And for 40 days, every morning, he came out and he challenged the Israelite army. And as close as we can tell, there were probably several thousand men in each army. These were huge armies. And he challenged them all. Send a man out to fight with me. If he conquers me, if he's able to kill me, we will become your servants. But if I kill him, you will become our servants. That was the challenge every morning. A 9 foot tall, well actually it was 9 foot nine as close as they can figure, put that challenge out there every day. The Israelite army was totally immobilized with fear. Nobody would take him up on it. The best man they had said, not me. No, have you seen the size of that guy? And we hear about how well he's been trained. No, we don't want any part of it. And so the entire army of Israel was frozen with fear. How many times do you and I face an enemy with fear instead of faith? It made a difference here. Have you ever been frozen in your tracks because of fear? You don't know what to do? Man, I'm afraid about that. This thing's coming at me like a freight train, and I don't know how to get out of the way. I'm just frozen, and I can't afraid to make this decision or that decision. I'm afraid it'll be the wrong decision. It'll be a bigger disaster day. I don't know what to do. Have you ever been there in that kind of situation? Most of us have. If not, we probably will be. Just immobilized and getting nowhere, and every day you're in that position of being immobilized, the enemy gets bigger and bigger and more frightening because you're not seeing any progress. You say, I'm going to lose this battle. It's coming and I can't stop it. I'm going to lose the battle. Nobody in that army be willing to stand up against Goliath. But there was one young lad named David. And if you'll remember from this morning, there was a description of David given to King Saul when he was looking for somebody to play a harp for him to soothe his nerves and to drive away the evil spirit that was troubling him. The report says, there's a young shepherd boy down there at Bethlehem. He's really good on the harp, and he's very intelligent, and he's a great warrior, and he the Lord is with him. You remember that? That was the picture of David given to King Saul in the 16th chapter. Well, this same boy, just a shepherd, he had gone back home. He was no longer in the king's palace. He'd gone back home, back to Bethlehem, doing what he'd always done, taking care of the sheep. He was the youngest. He had three older brothers, and they were out doing what the older brothers did, but this time they were on the battlefield, and he was at home. But his father sent him with some bread, said parched corn and 10 cheeses. I had to think about it. I like cheese. I don't know about you. I was trying to figure out what kind of, it had to be goat cheese, right? Or sheep cheese. Can you get sheep cheese? Why not? They make milk. I guess they do. And so this father wanted to send this out to his sons who were on the battlefield. And so, David, take the stuff to your brothers. And so he did. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 now, verse 26 is where we want to pick up the story here. It said, when David got there, he met the people, the soldiers that were there, and he heard what was going on. He said, and David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine? He's seen the giant. He's heard what he said. And taketh away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? You notice how David identified the army? He didn't say these are the Israelites. No, this is the army of the living God. That's a whole different perspective. Goliath had brought shame or reproach here on thousands of soldiers in Israel's army. And David didn't say on the Israel's army, this is the living God's army. David injected God into the equation, and we need to pick up on this. Whenever we're facing an enemy and we see how bad it's going to be, we need to inject God into the equation. We need to say, wait a minute, we're part of God's army, and we belong to Him. No matter what battle we may face or the size of the giant we face, God's presence changes everything. You leave God out of the picture, no matter how bad it is, whether it's financial or physical or whatever it might be, you leave God out of the picture and you're looking for trouble, you're looking for disaster. But when you bring God in and say, now wait a minute, I belong to the Lord. This battle belongs to the Lord. Everything I've got belongs to the Lord. And so He's going to be in this with me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. Your whole outlook changes and the battle changes. It did for David. No doubt David had some fear, but if he did, he overcame it by faith, not in his own ability, although he must have had some ability from what he said, but his faith was in God. When you're facing a giant of an enemy of any kind, are you totally focused on that giant that's in front of you? Most of the time we are. You get bad news from the cardiologist, tell me where your focus is. You know, it's on that. And you're not worried about what you're going to fix for supper, right, ladies? You're not worried about who's going to cut the grass. No, wait a minute. I got to listen to that doctor told me things. We're focused completely upon the giant that's in front of us. When we find out we're doing that, we need to make an adjustment. We need to take our focus off of the enemy, off the giant in front of us, and look within us and ask the question, am I here alone? Am I going to face this alone? Or is the Lord in my heart? If He's really in my heart, I need to know it right now. I need Him. I need His power. I need His presence. I need His plan within me. Or is my heart empty? That's a great time to find out if your heart's empty or not. You can deal with it. Remember what they said about David? The Lord is with him. The Lord is with him. Go to verse 32. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant, speaking of himself, will go and fight with this Philistine. I think that's interesting. King Saul knew David, but he knew him as a musician. He didn't know him as a warrior, and he didn't look like a warrior, just a kid out there dressed like any other shepherd, had a staff and a slingshot. King, don't worry about this. He said, I can handle it. And King Saul told him, David, look, you're just a kid and you're not very big either. You're not a trained warrior, and this guy's huge. And he was telling him how bad Goliath was and how poor David was. And he said, you're no match for this giant. You're so young. So David said, oh, King, let me tell you about this. I killed a lion. He came and got one of the sheep out of my flock. He said, I ran him down. I grabbed him by his beard and I smote him and I killed that lion. He said, and then another time a bear got one of my sheep and I went and chased him down and took the sheep away from him and killed the bear. Same God that delivered the blind and the bear delivered me out of their paws. He's going to deliver me out of this giant's paws. I'm not worried about him. That's some faith, huh? You see, faith is built on faith. Faith is built on past experiences. So sometimes when we get in trouble, we need to look back and say, wait a minute, God, remind me of how you helped me last time. Remind me of how faithful you were and how powerful you were. Remind me of how good you were. Encourage me sometimes. Remind me, oh God, you are there and you're still the same God and you are able to deliver me out of the Philistine's hand just like you delivered me out of the lion and the bear's paws. Let's read on. In verse 37, David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." He said, "I see this kid. He's got more faith and more courage than my whole army put together." He said, "God's going to deliver him." I don't know that Saul had the faith to believe that God was really going to deliver him or not, but he was willing to sacrifice David if that's what it took. He was saying, "Well, just go. If you think you can do it, please go do it. We can't keep facing each other for another 40 days or 90 days or 100 days. We can't. So you're our only hope, kid. Come on. Go for it. Go, please. And the Lord be with thee." You see, Saul knew that David couldn't do it on his own. Yeah, he had past history with the lion and the bear, and he had some good success, but he didn't believe that was going to be enough. The Lord be with thee. Sometimes we need to encourage one another. When we see a brother or sister that's in a battle of some sort, a brother or sister that's hurting somehow or some way, and they're struggling with this, that, or the other, sometimes we need to say, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Remember the Lord's in your heart, my brother, my sister. You've got him with. Remember who he is and where he is, your relationship to Almighty God. You're not going through this alone. You need to know the Lord is with you, and I'm going to pray that he'll make his presence known to you in this tough time. Sometimes God lets us go through those things just simply so we'll be reminded. Well, the Lord be with thee. David went, and the Lord was with him. We know the rest of the story. The Lord was with him. Look down a little bit farther. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and he also armed him with the coat of mail. Now, this is the king's armor. It had to be the best they had. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he attempted to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I can't go with these. I've not proved them. I haven't learned how to use this stuff." And so David put them off. He took it all off and just laid it on the ground. And he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of a shepherd's bag, out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistines. Laid down the spear, laid down the sword, got rid of the armor, everything to protect him, everything that normally you would use to fight a warrior in a battle like this, he got rid of that and got his old shepherd sling. And how many stones? 5. You think he was planning on missing with 4? There's been many a question about how did he do that. Somebody said, "Well, he knew the Goliath had 4 brothers." I don't know if he did or didn't. Maybe he did. Or maybe he just thought, "I'm going to put 1 on Goliath, and these other 4 are for the rest of these guys, whoever wants to step up." I don't know, but he chose exactly the right number of stones, the right shape and size stones from the brook that was in front of him, that God had led him. God led him to the right stones. Otherwise, he'd have been throwing some crooked stone, and when it didn't go straight, have y'all ever thrown a rock and watch your curve? Yeah. God led him to the right stones, and so he picked them up and put them in his bag, and he was going to go do battle. And he drew near to the Philistine. If you can see the scene of these thousands of people and these armies facing each other and Goliath out front, and here comes David, slowly marching out towards him. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. So they're starting to approach each other. And the man that bare the shield went before him. He had a shield bearer. This giant of a man had somebody else carrying his gigantic shield. And he was moving out in front of Goliath to protect him. And when the Philistine looked about and he saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and fair countenance. He didn't look like a warrior at all, not in the slightest. And the word disdain there means he was insulted, but they sent this kid out there to fight him. He disdained him. He was insulted. And the Philistine said unto David, "Am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves or with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Oh, that's so important when we read that. David said to the Philistine, to Goliath, you come against me with a sword, a spear, and a shield. Is that all you've got? You know, in today's world, if this had been happening, we'd have been described it as trash talking, right? They do it in sports all the time. They get somebody, the opponent, and they just start talking trash back and forth. He says, oh, that's all you got? Yeah, you haven't got enough. You better go home and get some help. Whatever. But no, he wasn't really, not with David. No, he wasn't trash talking. He was telling him the truth. All you've got is a spear and a sword and a shield. Listen, I'm coming in the name of the Lord, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. You have defied the armies and you defied the Lord. You're in deep trouble. You need to understand what's happening. David was letting Goliath and both the armies know that David was not alone on that battlefield. He was bringing Almighty God into the fight. And that changed everything. Goliath's weapons meant nothing. The Lord was with David. And of course, we know the end of the story. That was absolutely true. The armies didn't understand it. They just saw it and heard it. They didn't know what God was going to do. They just knew what David could do with a slingshot. That's all they knew, or what he couldn't do. And they knew what Goliath could do with his weapons. They didn't know what God was going to do. Let's look down at verse 46 and keep reading. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee. This is David talking. He said, take thy head from me. He said, I'm going to sever your head. And I'll give the carcass of the host of Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David said, I'm not fighting for my sake. I'm not fighting for my king. I'm fighting for the God of Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, David hastened and ran toward the enemy army to meet the Philistines. Get the picture. They started off a long ways apart, and they slowly approached each other. And then David started running straight at the giant, just running as hard and as fast as he could go. Can you imagine the looks on their faces of these soldiers? Good night, what's wrong with that kid? He's running right at him. David was not stupid. David knew the range of his slingshot. He knew if he threw it, tried to hit him from 100 yards, it wasn't going to work. He ran as close as he could be, and I can just imagine old Goliath's eyes probably got about that big. What is wrong with this crazy kid? Look at him running at me. He's winding up his slingshot. I'm standing behind my shield. I got on my helmet. I'm in great shape. No, he wasn't. No, he definitely was not. David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it. And smote the Philistine in his forehead. The stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Can I say something to you? Sometimes you need to approach the enemy. Sometimes you need to get a little bit nearer. And sometimes you need to go full steam ahead and an all-out attack, not in your ability, but in the ability of the Lord. Not in your power, but in the power of the Lord, saying, Lord God, we're going. And don't be afraid. Or if you are afraid, overcome it. Just keep going. If God tells you to run at Goliath, then run at him. He'll tell you where to stop. He'll tell you the right place to stop. He'll tell you when to sling the stone and where to throw it. He'll make sure it hits the target. Make sure you're listening to the Lord. It's so important to not fight your fight alone. We try that too many times and we wonder why we get beat up. So here we have David. And he's got that rock, and he's got that sling, and he throws it, and said it hit him, and he fell upon his face to the earth. Do you remember from this morning we talked about David playing the harp? How did he pick just the right song? The one that was going to soothe King Saul. God led him to the song. How was he able to pluck the harp strings just right to do what God wanted done for King Saul? It was God who was guiding his fingers to those strings. Some of you play guitars and other instruments. God guides your fingers too. He's given you talent. Let him guide your fingers when you play. Play for him. That's what David was doing. He was playing for the Lord to benefit Saul. But here, the same God who led him to guide his fingers on the harp strings, guided him in throwing that stone. God was in control all along, and only God and David knew it. Thousands of men watched and said, "What in the world is happening?" God was fighting a battle. One slingshot, one stone, one dead giant. Actually, we always read that the stone killed him, but let's read the next verse. It says, "So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine." I think this thing stood right up on his chest or his back. "And took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled." He killed him with the sword. He took him out with a stone. He went face first. But to make sure he was dead, he decapitated the giant. That pretty well settles it. There's nothing to fear out of a big dead giant with his head over there and his body over here. David did it. How did he do that? He was just a shepherd. He'd never had a sword in his hand before. He didn't know what to do. He did what God led him to do and beheaded the giant. And it says that the Philistine army fled. "And the men of Israel and of Judah arose, and they shouted." I bet they did. "And they pursued the Philistines until they came to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way on either side of the road." They were running, and they're getting wounded because the Israelites were chasing them and chopping at them, fighting them all the way, and Shaarim even unto Gath and unto Ekron. This is a total of about 15 miles. So if you get the picture, if you were to go down that road right after all this happened, you'd see dead bodies and bleeding warriors laying on both sides of the road all the way. The Israelites won the battle, did they not? That's what it says. "And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistines, and they spoiled their tents." You remember they'd been camped out there for 40 days. They were all in their tents. They had all their stuff with them. They left it all and ran for cover and tried to get home. A lot of them didn't make it. So the Israelites, "Well, let's go see what they've left us. To the victor go the spoils." And so they did. They spoiled their tents. They went and got everything they needed. We can learn from this. Not that we ought to go out killing people and raiding their tents or anything of that nature, but we need to know that when the Lord is with us, He can turn what looks like an absolute disaster into a beautiful victory. He can change history with one obedient servant and one stone and one slingshot. Change history. He did He not? When the Lord is with you, there's no giant too large. When the Lord is with you, there's no enemy that's too great. When the Lord is with you, the battle's already won. It wasn't David's skill that killed Goliath. It was God who directed the stone and God who gave him the strength to pick up the sword. We may face many, many battles. And we will. But when the Lord is with us, we can't lose. Cannot lose. You say, "Well, that's good news because I got the Lord with me." How do you know that? You know you have the Lord with you if He is in you. Because you can look back to a day when He was not with you and not in you because you hadn't invited Him in. But if you have, you have His promise. "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." Never means never, no matter how big the giant or how bad the battle is. If you're sure He's in your heart. But if you're not sure He's in your heart, listen to me, you are in the battle by yourself. And giants are bigger than you are. You need Jesus. You need the Lord in your heart and desperately need Him. So that's why we give an invitation at the end of every service, that we can trust the Lord. Because the biggest enemy you'll ever face is that enemy called death. It's coming. You don't want to face it alone. When you face it with the Lord, death will be victory for you. So the only question is the Lord with you? Have you received Him into your heart and life or not? If you have, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. And thank Him, and don't be afraid to call out to Him when the giant looks terribly big and you don't see how you can possibly win. Let's pray. Father, tonight we bow down before you again. Grateful. Lord, we can learn so much from this little story about David and about Goliath, King Saul. David's father, Jesse, and the brothers, all of it. Lord, we can find that this applies to us too. We do face battles. We do face giants that are surely big enough to do away with us and destroy us. Were it not for you. There may be somebody right now listening, Lord, that said, yeah, I've got something going on that's going to destroy me if it's not for God. Oh, Father, help us to trust you. If there's anybody here that's never been saved, and right now, if they were to die, they'd face death alone instead of with Jesus. Oh, God, give them the faith and courage to come forward and trust Jesus right now while we sing the invitation hymn. Oh, Father, encourage your people, because we will be fighting battles every day from here on, and we just need to know that you are with us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.